Good morning, everybody. We're going to be reading from John 5 today. We'll be starting at 16 and going all the way down to 29 throughout the lesson today. So as I was preparing this lesson, God was speaking to me about the difference between a call, being called to do something, and then being commanded to do something. He said there's a difference between being called and being commanded. You know, my job working at a police department, I get to see the difference between being called and commanded a lot. You know, when a police officer asks you to do something, when he's calling you to do something, what does he say? Hey, can you come here? Can you answer a few questions? Do you mind coming here for a second? There's a call, and you have a choice whether or not to answer. But then there's the command that comes forth. Hopefully none of you know what I'm talking about, but when a command comes forth, he says, freeze, right? Get on the ground. You know, put your hands up. There's that command that comes forth. There's an infliction in the voice. There's something in the voice that you know that he's not requesting. He's commanding you to do something, and they expect you to comply. And I remember one time I was at my job and I was on the phone with this guy, and I must have been on the phone with him for 40, 45 minutes. And I was talking to him and I was saying, sir, you know, he needed to come in, and it really wasn't a choice, he had to. And I was saying, sir, can you please come into headquarters? Can you please come in? We need to speak to you, please. And I was talking to him and saying it different ways, and I must have talked to him for 45 minutes, and he's like, nope, nope, nope. So finally, one of the guys walked in that has worked there for a long time, and he's like, give me the phone. And I was like, all right, you know, you think you can do better, here you go. And he got on the phone with this guy and he said, sir, you need to come in. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. I expect you to be here in 15 minutes. And I'm like, that ain't going to work. Lo and behold, the guy said, okay, I'll be in a little while. No problem. And I, like, my mouth kind of dropped. And I was like, man, I try to learn from that situation. I've tried to kind of get the command down. It's helped a little bit, I think. I try to use it in youth group sometimes. As I was doing this, the Lord was speaking to me. He said, Chris, there's a difference between the call and command. And even now, as we are in this world, Jesus Christ is sending out a call to the nations. He is sending out a call to you and to me. But we have a choice whether or not to answer. But one day, that call will be gone. One day that call will no longer be here, and the command will come forth, and the command will say, stand before me, and the command will command all men to bow a knee and to confess with their mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is King. You see, it's a call today, but it won't always be there. Tomorrow, it will become a command. So my question for us today is, will you respond to the call while we have a choice, or will we be forced to comply with the command one day? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And my first thing about the call is that the call, it's life for today. The call is life for you, and it's life today. So as we get into the verse, Jesus, he had been walking around. He had been spreading his word. He had been calling men to himself. He was going around doing healings, and he was doing miracles. And every single act that he did was to call men into himself, to prove who he was, that men would know him and come to him. So he goes and he goes to a pool, and there's this guy on a mat, and he can't lift himself in the pool. And he turns to Jesus and says, can you help lift me into the pool? Because just maybe I'll get a healing and be able to walk. And Jesus says, do you want to walk? And he says, yes. He says, then pick up your mat and walk. And this man does. And the Pharisees and the people around him, they saw what Jesus did, and he did it on a Sabbath. John 5, verse 16, it says, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. That's very important. That's what Jesus said to him. You know, we have to understand that Jesus, he was walking around. He was calling men into himself. He was doing a work. He was at work calling men. And it has not stopped. Since the first day of creation, the plan of salvation is being unfolded. And it's still going on today. Death didn't stop Jesus Christ. Death didn't stop the Father. Everything is still in motion to this day. And Jesus Christ, even though he's not walking the earth anymore, his spirit is roaming to and fro, calling men to himself, speaking out to his people and saying, come and follow me. To this very day, the Father is still at work, the Son is still at work, and the Holy Spirit is still at work. The call is life, life for today. I'm saying it's the only life. It is the only life. And all this world that they hold dear, all that is found in the world, it is death compared to the life that Jesus Christ holds in his hands. It is death compared to what he offers you today. Jesus Christ, he holds life in his hands, and everything in this world compared to it, it's nothing. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day with you than 1,000 in the world. But you hold life in your hand, God. Amen. So the call is going out today. Just like those police officers, there is a call, but it won't always be there. The command will one day come forth. to understand the call that we have today, we have to understand the commandments of the past. How did the Father work? He worked in commandments. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the waters be separate, and the waters were separate. All of nature and all of creation are here today because of the command that God had. And what about how he led his people? He led his people by the command. Think about when he was leading them in the wilderness. He commanded them where to go and how to get there. And there was all sorts of things that meant life or death for them. Following the command of God to them was life or death. As they were wandering the wilderness, Pastor Janet has said this before, there were snakes all over the place. And if they stepped out of line from God's command, they could be bit. Or there was disease and there was calamity. There was armies overtaking and destroying. Even rebellion to the command was met with supernatural repercussions. You see, God in the Old Testament, he gave commands and he expected his people to obey those commands. That's why he gave them the 10 and not the 10 requests, right? He gave 10 commandments. But he saw that his people were not able to handle it. He saw that at some point he would give the command and his people would falter and it would mean their death. So what does he do? He sends his son. He sends his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sends him to this earth. And he begins to call men into himself, call men into the Father. Why did he do that? He called them so that he could empower them. He could empower them by the Holy Spirit to be able to keep the commands of God. He empowered his people to keep the commands. That's why Jesus Christ, he said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus, he comes with a call today. Not a command. He doesn't say, thou shalt follow me. He says, come to me. And he calls you by name. He is the call that goes out to the nations. You think about when he even called out to the disciples. He went to them and said, drop your net and follow me. And at that point, he could have turned around and said, no, I'm good. And Jesus would have said, okay. And he would have went on and called somebody else. But he said to him, drop your net and follow me. And what did the disciple reply in another part? He says, well, I got stuff going on, Jesus. You know, I had a family member die. I got to go to the funeral. There's important things happening in my life. Or you say I should just leave it all? And Jesus Christ responds to him, drop your net and follow me. Drop the things you hold precious. Let the dead bury the dead and drop it all and follow me this day. Amen. See, they could have turned away, but they answered the call to life. We need to answer the call to life today. He is calling out to you. What does that call sound like? He calls to your heart. He whispers to your soul. He begins to speak to things like forgiveness and redemption. He begins to open up the unlocked doors of your heart that you never knew were there, and he begins to clean them out and replace them with his glory. He plants hopes, and he plants dreams, and begins to speak to you about things that you could never imagine on your own. We need to respond to that call when it comes, people. It does amazing things when responding to the call. It causes a recognition of who you are. It causes your feet to move and your arms to reach out. It causes you to search for God and search for God until you finally find him. It causes you to rid yourself of your worldly ways, and it causes your heart to merge in unity with the church. We have to be honest and look at our hearts. If we have not experienced the things I'm describing, we have not answered the call. Answer the call is not just being in a seat in church. Answering the call comes when Jesus speaks to your heart and you cry out to him and say, Jesus, here I am, God. And he begins to talk to you and calls you by name and says, follow me. And you open up your arms and you drop all the things of the world and say, here I am, Lord, use me. But we have a choice. We have a choice. You know, one of the things I love about God, I'm a simple guy, and he makes things so simple for me. He says, I set before you life or death, blessings or curses, left or right, the command or the call. Choose which road you are going to take today. You see, God's simple. He calls out to you, and all you have to do is answer. But we have that thing called free will. What was free will? Free will was a gift of God. Free will is what separates us from the angels. Free will is so that you can pick it up and use it to choose God. You see, God wants you to utilize your free will to choose him. But men revel in their free will. They pick it up and they say, I can do whatever I want to do. I can be my own man. I can make my own future. I create my own destiny. And they use it as a tool against God. But I tell you, people of God, your free will is a gift from God that you may choose him this day. One day that free will will no longer be there. It'll be gone and the command will come forth and they will have to face their maker and give an account of how they use the gift of God to embrace his son or to turn away from him. It's a life or death decision today. The call of God comes. It's a life or death decision. I hear that phrase a lot, right? I have a life or death emergency. It's life or death for us today. We have a choice. We can choose life or death. Will you die like the Old Testament? Maybe not. Maybe some of you are saying today, Chris, if I don't answer the call of God, surely we will not die. Did God really say that? That sound familiar? And I'll say to you, will you die like in the Old Testament? Maybe not. Is there snakes waiting for you outside that door when you step out there? Probably not. Is it but mean death for you? Maybe, maybe not. But I'll tell you one thing that has not changed since the beginning of time. The wages of sin are still death. Death to your soul. Death to your emotions. Death to your personality. Death to your dreams. Death to everything that makes you, you. But to answer the call of God today, it is life. Life for today. There is no life that the world holds. There is nothing good inside the world. The only thing that is good in this world is what God holds in his hand and gives unto his people. So we have to look, where are we called today? I'll tell you, you're called into the church. You're called into a body of believers. You're called into his kingdom. You're called to make yourself holy and have God do a work inside of you, then come into the church and use that same spirit to hold up the walls that you're surrounded with. You're called into the church. You see, everyone likes to say, I have a special mission. I'm called to the lost. I'm called to the broken. I'm called to the nations. I'm called to this special mission or that special mission. Let me tell you today, you are called to two things. You are called to be holy, and you are called to be in a body of believers. It's his church that he empowers with the mission. He empowers the church to reach the lost. He empowers the church to reach the broken. He empowers the church for the nations. And he has a special place for you in his church today. He calls you into the body to be an ear or an eye or a hand. But whatever it is, it supports the mission of God. It supports the work of God. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. The church is what he is coming for. The church is his beloved, and he has a place for you in his beloved to advance the kingdom of God. God's voice, it always brings unity. It always brings unity, and we've seen countless examples of that in this church, where sometimes I'll go on the website and I'll read the comments that people are putting, and then Sunday morning comes and it's exactly what Pastor Janet happens to be talking about. Or verses that some people get that they've been talking about. That there's how many verses in the Bible? A million. Yet there's just one that God is speaking to his church, and it seems like he speaks it all throughout the church. Even on a more global movement, sometimes I'll put on televangelists or I'll read some stuff that some of the guys I like, and I'll read it and I'll say, wow, God is even speaking the same things throughout his global church. And there's a movement, and sometimes to the exact verse that they're doing, and there's a movement of God. You see, God brings unity. He brings a hierarchy. He moves. God is not a God of chaos, but he is a God of order. And this is to uphold the kingdom. This is what he is calling you into this day. Look at verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Jesus, he answered the call of the Father. He was born into this world to answer the call of God. He was born to bring about salvation and redemption. Jesus Christ, he was born to live out the call of the Father. And you can see in this verse, it says the Son can do nothing by himself, but he can only do what he sees the Father doing. You see, there was a special relationship between the Father and the Son. That relationship is the same relationship that Jesus Christ has with his church. We can do nothing outside of him. Or we can, but then we're not his church. The church cannot go out in its own way and do its own thing. You see, God leads us into unity, and he leads us into life, and he leads us in a global movement with the church. God brings unity. The call of God, it's going out today. The call of life is going out today. It is speaking to hearts all over the world. It is speaking and whispering things to your soul. How will you answer that call when it comes today? One day that call will be gone and the command will come forth. But we have been called into the church and we have been called into life abundant. So my question for you today is, when the call of God comes, how will you answer? How will you respond? So we see that number one, the call, it's to life. Life today. Secondly, the call is to judgment. Let's look at verse 21 and 22. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. The Father holds judgment in his hands, and he passes it to Jesus Christ. And he says, I have entrusted it to my Son, Jesus Christ. But let's look before that. How did the Father, how did he judge, right? He came with a command, we said, in the Old Testament. How did he judge his people? He judged them based off of their obedience to keep that command. So now Jesus Christ, he holds judgment in his hand. How does Jesus Christ judge? He judges us based off our obedience to the call. But people, they believe that they cannot heed the call of God. They don't have to listen, and they can turn away from the call of Jesus Christ, yet still live in the freedom that comes within the New Testament. But that's not the case. You see, without heeding the call of God, we're still in the Old Testament. You're still living under the command that you cannot keep, and you are still being judged by the command that you cannot hold. And I'll tell you, people, that only brings death. How you respond to Jesus Christ today determines whether you are in the old or the new, in the command or the call. We've either chosen to accept Jesus Christ, to hear that call, to grab onto it, to respond to it, to not let it pass by, or we are welcoming the command, living under the Old Testament and being judged as such. And we need to be sober-minded, people of God. We need to be sober-minded and see that there is a judgment that is to come. One day, there will be a judgment that comes for all those who did not heed the call of God, who did not hear or listen to the call, and they turned away from it. There is a judgment that will come. Their free will be gone, and they will be commanded to come before God, and they will be judged by that same command. Revelation 20 says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up those who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. You see, this is serious stuff. We need to be sober-minded and know that there is a judgment that will one day come. Don't get caught up in the free will like the rest of the world. Don't say that day will never come like the Bible says. The day is coming. The call is for today, but the command is for tomorrow. And those who did not respond willingly to the call of God will have to come before the Father forcefully. And I'll tell you, to stand before that command, all things are laid bare. All things are laid bare before him. It says the dead, great and small, presidents and paupers, big and small, the intelligent and the weak-minded, the good-looking and the ugly, all will stand before the throne of God and give an account for what they have done. But God sent his Son so that we could avoid this. God knew what was coming. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to call out to you to say there is a time that is coming where all men will have to face judgment. But hear me today. Listen to me today. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the days of your rebellion, but turn to me. In those days, men will try to exercise their free will again. They will try to run from the command of God, and they will try to hide from the command of God, but there will be no hiding because God's command is ultimate. But God, he knew there was a better way. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not so that you could avoid judgment, but that so you could live in it every day. You see, the call, it's to judgment. Let's look back in our Bibles at verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. That word judge there, it's krisis. It means condemnation or eternal separation. It's not saying you won't be judged, but it's saying you won't be judged by the command in the end. We need to be judged while we are living. See, judgment, I say the word judgment, and everybody kind of like cowers down and they try to hide their face behind their Bibles, right, and put their eyes down. Judgment is used as such a fearful word in the world, but for the church, it's not fearful. It's not supposed to be a fearful thing. You see, judgment for us, it produces life and it produces purification. The call today, it's to judgment. It brings judgment over the ways you have lived. It brings judgment over your sins and your desires. It brings judgment over your worldly way of thinking and your flesh. Why does it bring judgment? Because judgment is the only way to put something to death. Let's look at the court illustration even, right? When you walk into court, you walk in, he just doesn't say, you're sentenced to death. No, there's a judgment that has to be made, whether you are innocent or whether you are guilty. And Jesus Christ, he stands in judgment of all your carnal ways of living and all your flesh, and he calls it to be put to death this day. The call today is to judgment, and judgment for us is life, for it puts to death all our old ways so that God may replace it with life. He is carrying out a sentence of judgment, a sentence of death of all your worldly ways and replacing it with life this day. We are not subject to the judgment that brings death, but to the judgment that brings life. And what happens, I've seen this a million times, where people, maybe somebody hears the call of God and they hide from it and they run away from it because they can feel the judgment that comes along with it. But little do they know, they're not avoiding the judgment. They're just putting it off for a later date. We need to embrace judgment. We need to embrace the judgment of God, for it means life for us. It's what saves us from the coming judgment day. It's what we should be living by every single day of our lives. Let's go on in verse 25. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice or the call of the Son of God, and those who will hear it will live. When the dead, it's talking about spiritually dead, the voice of the Son of God, the call of the Son of God will come and those who hear it will live. This is talking about today. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? Has it caused you to go from death into our life? This is the judgment that we have, that the people of God have over their hearts. It's not how many Bible verses you knew. It's not how many times you did a good deed. Our judgment is when the Lord Jesus Christ calls out life to his people and calls out judgment to his people. You would be the one answering with your arms open saying, "Here I am, Lord, use me this day." Let's continue on, 26 and 27. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. The Father has two things in his hand, life and judgment. And he passes those things on to his Son. He passes to him life and judgment. And Jesus Christ today passes the same thing on to you. He passes on to you judgment and life. Judgment so that your worldly ways would die and life to replace it. God has set before us once again life or death, blessings or cursings. We are either having him judge over our hearts today and put to death the old and bring to life the new, or we are embracing everything that this world holds dear and one day facing the judgment that God never wanted you to face. My question for us today is, will you answer the call, take in the judgment that brings death, or will you fall under the command and face the judgment that brings the command for life, or receive the judgment that brings death? Thirdly, the call is for eternal life. Eternal life. Let's look at 28 and 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear the voice or the call of God and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. He says, don't be amazed at this. Before I was talking about the physical, before I was talking about all the things in the world, but today I'm not talking about even the spiritual, I'm talking about the physical. I'm talking about at the end times when you're in the grave, that you would be risen up. We need to understand that the call to life today, it's not just life for today, but it's life forever. It's life eternal. There is eternal life that God holds in his hands. Eternal life for today and eternal life for one day when he calls his people to himself. Now, when I say eternal life, let me just clarify and say that the call, it's not salvation. The call leads you into salvation, but it's not salvation on its own. I've seen this a lot where people maybe hear the call of God and they have an emotional response to it. Something that maybe they cry or they shake, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when that's all there is. Maybe it even makes them question their ways. But salvation comes when you have heard the call, when you have allowed the call to purify you, and you allow the call to save you from the man that you used to be. And people spend their entire lives hanging on to that call. They hang on to the call and say, well, I remember the one time I heard the voice of God, and that's fine and that's great, but what did you do with it? When you heard the call of God, how did you respond? How did you move? How did you continue on in Christ? How did it purify you? How did it walk you through the fire and see you out the other side that you came out a different man? I remember the first time that I heard the call of God. I remember walking into church and hearing that voice of God. I responded in the only way I knew how, and that was to bow a knee to God. for us in this church bowing a knee. It might not seem like a big deal, right? Everybody bows all the time. But for a kid who had been beat down his entire life, for a kid who made vow after vow after vow saying, I will never bend a knee again. I will never allow anybody to be over me again. Bowing a knee in that day was the greatest response I could have ever made. But I had a choice. I could have not bowed. I could have went and spent the rest of my life justifying my salvation based off of that one time I heard the call of God. You see, the call, it leads you into salvation. I answered the call that day. I responded to the call that day, which led to another response, which led to another response, which led to another response. And eventually along the way somewhere, I was saved from the man that I used to be. The call became not something I heard, but something I was. And he gives two different people in this verse. He says, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. What is good? What is good? We need to get rid of our worldly way of thinking and say, what is good? It's not this world. It's not anything that this world holds. The only thing that is good is the Lord Jesus Christ and the life that he holds in his hands. Amen? We will be judged with how we respond to that call this day. You guys have heard of muscle memory. If I ask one of the musicians to play a note, I say play C. They know exactly what to hit. And when some of you guys can type, and when you're typing, you don't have to think about each individual letter. There's muscle memory. You see, muscle memory is when you train your muscles to know what to do without your mind even having to think about it. In the same way, from constant use and constant practice, we train our bodies and our minds to immediately answer the call of God. So when that call goes forth, when the trumpets sound and Jesus Christ comes down and he begins to call out to his people, your bodies are in the ground, but they know instinctively what to do. You have trained them with muscle memory. They jump up out of the grave and answer the call of God, for you have trained your body to answer. Amen. Jesus Christ will sound out in that day. He will say, rise and be judged. And if you have done correctly, you will say, judgment? Did you say judgment? You mean the judgment that has brought life to me? You mean the judgment that I was put to death my earthly ways? And you jump up out of the grave. You meet your soul and you stand before the throne of God and say, here I am, God. I know that call of life. I have answered that call of life, my entire existence. I have been answering your call, and it is no different today. And in the same manner, those who have spent their lives hiding from the call, those who have spent their lives refusing to expose their heart, there will be a command that comes forth and says, rise and come forth and be judged. And we will have to give an account. We will have to face our Maker and give an account for all the times he opened up the door for us to hear. For all the times that you looked up and saw the stars in their place and yet never considered the one who put them there. For all the times that he called you to go left, but your free will was all too happy to go to the right. You see, judgment, it's not a fearful thing for us. It means eternal life for us. The call of God, it's to life. It's to life abundant. It's to judgment. Judgment that brings life, and it is to eternal life. All men will rise. All men will bow a knee. All men will confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is King. My question for us today is, will we bow a knee today or bow a knee by the command tomorrow? You know, the guys in the Bible that answered the call of God, they didn't have it easy. They went through very trying times. But I can tell you this, to answer the call today, your life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Things will change for you. And I know the greatest thing about the call of God, it's to every man and every woman every day. God is calling you to something today. Maybe he's calling you to life. Maybe you've never heard the call of God. Maybe he's calling you to life for the first time today. Maybe he's calling you to look inside and see what is there and say, God, I need a savior this day. Maybe he's calling you to judgment, not fearful judgment, not judgment that brings death, but maybe he's calling you to judgment today to expose the things of your heart that they may be put down and replaced with his glory. His call is to life, life today and life abundant and life eternal. I want you guys to hear the call of God. Open up your ears. Put your hand on your head and say, God, open up my ears that I may hear your call, for your call is to life, God. Life abundant. I want to train my body to answer the call of God. You are calling out to the nations. Lord, may I respond to you this day. The world holds nothing in its hands, but you hold life in yours, God. and you are calling out, saying, drop your net and follow me. Drop your net. Drop all the things that you hold important. Drop all the things that you think are dear. Drop all the things that you think are good and follow me. For I am good and I hold life. Lord, I pray right now, Jesus, that you would speak to your people, God. There is a call to the nations that is going out. May we hear your call this day, God. Call of God goes out to the nations today. God whispers to the souls of his people. He says, do not turn away from my call. My call is to life. And so many of us have turned away in the past and say, no, God, I don't want to face the judgment. I don't want to face the call. I don't want to give up my free will. I don't want to, God, I don't want to. But the Lord is saying, my call to you today is for life. It's for life. And we have hidden from the judgment, thinking it brought death. But I tell you today that the call is to life today. So my question remains, when the call comes this day, how will you answer? How will we answer the call? And I hope your answer today is, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, God, speak to me. Here I am, God, call me, and I will go, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you, God, that your call, it has gone out to the nations. It brings unity and it brings life. It does away with death and the earthly ways and brings life to us today, Jesus. We thank you, God. Your call is life to us today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.